Hey everyone, you're tuned into episode 54, What a Difference a Year Can Make with Jamila Ogilvie. Keep listening. Hey everyone, your favorite girls are back for episode 54, What a Difference a Year Make. We have a wonderful guest today who's the homie, Delilah.
Yeah, let me introduce her with the proper introduction. So we met Jamila Ogilvie by way of attending mutual events. I just figured out today what event that was. Since then, we have made it a priority to stay in touch and remain connected on our career goals and personal milestones. Most recently, Jamila was a senior vice president at a boutique investment management firm specializing in asset-backed securities and structured credit, overseeing the financial reporter for over $3 billion in assets, and before that, overseeing $50 billion. No big deal, right? While working at the firm, she also worked as director of operations for a men's fashion brand for 2 years. In this role, she was responsible for overseeing the day-to-day operations of the company, including both the digital platform and the offline experience, managing people, processes, and brand relationships in New York City and across the globe. With over 13 years of experience in the financial service industry, Jamila recently took a leap into the freelance world to infuse more of what inspires her into her daily life. Her analytical and reporting background, coupled with her ability to quickly assess a situation, makes her an asset to entrepreneurs and small businesses alike, looking to scale and streamline their operations and reporting. Over the last few months, she has built strategic partnerships, hosted workshops for WeWork, and consulting for a variety of companies in the New York City food and service industry. Basically, Jamila is lit, and we're here. And she's our friend.
She's our friend.
Most important.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Welcome. This is Jamila's first podcast.
Yes, it is. I'm very happy to be here.
So, Jamila, normally we like to kick off with a positive note. Do you have a high for the week that you would like to share with the people?
Yes, I would say my high for the week was, I think, me and my husband booking our one-way ticket to Thailand. Oh,
tears.
Guys, we just got the ball dropped on us today. So y'all gonna feel in on this emotion with us because we wasn't ready. We knew about it, but it was just...
We're here for it, but we not ready. That's an amazing high. So we want to talk a little bit more about that, but first we want people to kind of get to know who you are. So what was your game plan once you committed to this, the decision of leaving your 9-to-5? Because we know that you've been in finance for a long time, and that was definitely a process that you had to kind of digest. So what was that decision like for you?
I mean, it was a hard decision. I think it was something I had been thinking about for almost the last, 5 years of my career.
That's a long time.
I just knew I wasn't where I needed to be and where I should be. And I think the time I spent working for the fashion startup was really the eye-opener for me. So once I was able to kind of step out of that box I had been in for so long and see what I was capable of doing on my own, that's when it was like, okay, you have no more excuses. Now you know what the other side could possibly look like. So I think that was kind of what pushed me out the door.
Okay.
As far as game plan, I'm a very structured person, so I do like to always have things kind of mapped out. But I had to get comfortable with it being a little bit up in the air because it took a few months to get to a good place with my employer at the time and, you know, make sure the exit made sense for both of us. And each day I was coming in not knowing what was going to happen, but, you know, it all
You had to get out. Comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Exactly.
So walk us through kind of like finance. Did you always know this is something you wanted to be in, the industry, or did you kind of fall into it?
I would say I definitely fell into it.
Okay.
Just to kind of start with the proper background, I got my undergraduate degree in accounting, but I had gone to school for pre-med, biology. I wanted to be a doctor, actually. And when I was at risk of losing my scholarship because I was enjoying freshman year a little bit too much, my parents were like, biology, what's it going to be? I literally had taken some business courses, had an intro to accounting teacher that like took an interest in me, and like that was it. Like literally when I graduated, I had no idea what public accounting was or what I was signing up for.
That's so crazy.
And I just kind of went, like, I just kind of let it take me. You know, I definitely had a lot of mentors and people around me who were guiding me and helping me make the decisions I needed to make to get to the point where I was. But none of it was ever like consciously planned or thought about as like, this is what you want to do, you know?
I feel like, so okay, so that was kind of how it started, but I feel like over time your, I guess your skill set has really evolved to so many different things, right? Yeah. So like, how has that been for you? Because now, I mean, we're gonna get into you being a freelancer, but like, you've been able to take all the skills that you've learned and apply it to what you're doing now. But how did that trajectory kind of happen for you? Because finance, I mean, I don't know. I think that you, when you started in finance, it was just like, this is finance, but you do so many other things.
Yeah, I think it was always just like, for me, outside of my like analytical reporting skill set, I feel like I have a lot of other like soft skills, skills that my employer saw, because there were so many instances where, yes, I did work at like a financial service company or a hedge fund, but I was always on these special projects that really had nothing to do with reporting.
Right.
Because it was like, oh my gosh, Jamila could do this. Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's really good with people and managing like difficult situations. Let's put her in charge of like the internal control testing where she has to grill everybody, because they know I could do it.
Right.
You know, so I felt like I was always getting other opportunities outside of what I was hired for. So it was kind of like, there's so much you can do and learn in this space. So I was just trying to take in and kind of like seize those opportunities when it was like, okay, you don't got to be in Excel all day, girl. Like, you got put on this project. Like, make sure you are like all over it, you know?
And I feel like that's important to mention, because for any role you're in, the people who are your supervisors should be able to know other things you could do to put you in those tasks,
see
your growth and challenge you, because why not? Like, you're not in a position
to give you opportunities to develop outside of the role that they hired you for on paper. Because I feel like so many of us can do so many things, but we're usually not asked to do them. So,
but it's so funny, because in the interview process, that is exactly what freaking comes up, but then they box you.
I was going to say,
corporate America, you are me.
That's what I was going to say, corporate America, rarely do we get to shine in other things that we do.
Exactly.
They want to just keep you to what?
It's because you're a worker bee.
Yeah.
I'm a worker queen. I just don't want to work, honestly.
Me neither. Like, my whole sentiment all week. Okay, so we know that you were in finance. We know all your soft skills and how you've evolved. We know you left your job. What are you doing now?
So what am I doing now? It's funny.
It feels like I'm a parent right now. Like, yeah. So what are you doing with your life? Right now?
Did you figure it all out yet? What are you doing?
First of all, you know, Delilah and I are like your biggest cheerleaders in terms of being the only non-corporate girl.
Absolutely.
So what I'm doing now, over the last few months, I've been able to meet some people through, you know, mutual connections and friends. And right now I'm working for a consultancy that is based in Brooklyn. They offer CFO services to different types of businesses. So that's kind of what I'm doing now. You know, when you ladies came here tonight, we were talking about like, oh, how was your day? You know, I spent my whole day in Excel working on a financial model and I didn't really love it. But I also spent my whole day working in my living room. I got to go to the gym this morning. I got to take my dog on two walks. I got to run to the grocery store.
Like manage your time.
I got
you
to
want.
Manage my day in the way in which I wanted to. So even though the time that I spent working wasn't necessarily exciting or fulfilling, it still provides a means to an end, which is my freedom and my happiness.
And that cannot be bought.
It can't. And the thing, and I remember, I feel like, maybe it was both of us, all of us, whatever, but I remember a while back we had a conversation about this, about like shifting your perspective on what things look like, because we do get to have that 3 p.m. where we get to walk our dogs, and you know what I mean? And just like,
well, I'm going to go back to the friend that's in town.
I want to be the people that be out at 12, 2, and we're like, what do you do?
Exactly. Wondering, seeing me.
What do you do?
Very aspirational. I want to live that life too. I'm serious. I just be passing by. No, I'm just grabbing lunch and I have to go back upstairs and they hear
kicking. I know. I'm laughing because I feel you. But either which way, okay. So, that being said, you also just got married.
Yes, I did.
By the way, statistic for NCG. This is the first married person that we have had on the show. We don't have nobody getting wiped up out here. That's the problem, guys. Okay. That's the problem. We can learn a thing or two from Jamel. Right. So, keep it locked. Listen.
So, what has marriage life been like thus far? And, yeah, what has it been like?
Well, it's funny because when we first met Evan, we were talking, I was saying to Delilah how, you know, it doesn't feel that much different right now because I feel like, you know, we've been together for almost 6 years, lived together for 3 years of it. But I will say, like, what feels the most different is, like, the way in which we can talk about our life and our goals and just plan and kind of have this, like, collective mindset where, you know, I have my life partner in which we make decisions with. Now, I'm not saying, you know, everything is perfect and it's easy to make these life decisions together, but it's nice to have someone that you're sitting at the table with who has
to figure
your
out
best interests, you know, at heart and wants you to be happy as much as you want them to be happy. So that kind of just creates this dynamic that, like, you know, we always wanted each other to both be happy, but now it's like, all right, now it's for real though. Like, we are a team.
Like, we're doing the action.
Yeah,
to make them
happen. Exactly.
Like, for me, I picture marriage like the person that is right there, right or die with you, like the whole world could be falling in pieces, but you're like, yo, we good.
So, you know my favorite song right now, which is so random, is Best, is it Best Life by Her and Daniel Caesar, is that what it's called? I can't remember, but anyway, it's gonna be at some point if I ever get married, it's gonna be like something like that.
I haven't listened to her. I'm listening to her.
It is Best Part.
Best Part. Well,
and
best.
Oh
I
my
that.
God. And that, what she just said, just reminded me of that because it's just the sweetest thing. Like, someone to be your sunshine and your.
You know, and there's days where, you know. The sun is not super shiny.
Oh, no.
You know,
sometimes
and, you
it's
know,
dark clouds.
The energy is off, but because of the commitment you've made to each other, it's like we gotta find a way to, like, you know, get back on that frequency.
Yeah. So, do you have any advice for people like your present company who is considering marriage?
You know, I think marriage, similar to any like relationship you have in your life where you want it to be long-lasting and fruitful and both people are benefiting equally, you have to compromise. And
I hear that a lot.
It's the C's.
The C's.
Communicate.
Compromise.
Compromise. You know,
I think it was just
something perspective. So, like, something I feel like Peyton has taught me a lot is, like, empathy, because I always knew how to be sorry for someone, but I never really knew how to be empathetic and be more empathic to kind of say, okay, this is how they're feeling and why, and if I was in their shoes, you know, this is what I might be thinking, or this what might be what's going through my head. Like, when I say those things, how does that make him feel? When I use that tone, how is he receiving it? You know, those are things before where I'd be like, I would just be like, I don't understand why you did that.
It's all about me.
Yeah,
like,
you know, like, I don't know right now. Where it's like, Jamila, maybe you say, hey, babe, can you help me understand, like, why you thought that was the best?
That's being an adult.
It is, and it's also changing tone and language. Actually, you're not a fan of Inyala. But Inyala fixed my life this episode that she just did. I'm serious. episode was really good. I feel like everybody should watch it. It was with a basketball player from the Pistons. I don't really know his name. It's one of the later episodes. And she was just speaking about, because, you know, he cheated a lot of times. So he is not about him. But it was just finding out what the issues were, because it was deeper than cheating.
It always is.
But then also for the wife to understand what she was doing, because she was almost like punishing him. And so it was like creating a cyclical behavior where he was not gonna get out of his way and she wasn't, but she had to own what her part was. And like at the very basis, it was just like changing how she spoke. Like, you know, a lot of the times we're listening to respond, not listening to hear.
Exactly.
And it's like when you change your words around, like I heard you say A, B, and C, right. But mm-hmm. I feel, and then go from there.
Exactly.
Come
just
through.
You know what I'm saying?
Listening is psychological and hearing is physiological, right? Is that how it goes, right? Yeah.
So I just thought that was dope and I was like,
it's true though, because Suli always tells me my tone, always. Whenever my tone is a certain way, she gets very defensive and it's just like,
she's not even listening to what you're saying now. She's seeing the way you're saying it.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes a difference. It could prevent arguments.
So many.
It's a game changer.
What is it, the two, like you give one critique and two like praises?
It's like in work, because I usually start off with a compliment before I'm about to slay you on what the shit you did wrong. So I always start off with a positive.
You don't have to, so that it breaks the ice and then you go through your attack.
You're ready for this.
Mm-hmm. I can't. All right, so we consider you a boss bitch, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
How is it balancing being that and also having a personal life? Like making sure that you're finding, especially now that you're like a freelancer, mm-hmm. you know, it's a hustle world there.
Yeah.
So how do you balance keeping home happy, keeping work happy?
I think what I've realized is that in order for everything around me to kind of, you know, be aligned, that I myself need to be fulfilled. So it's kind of making like sure my cup is full and that overflow is what I have to give to everybody else. Because if Jamila's cup is not full, like I'm going to try to give to you, but I don't even have enough for me. So why am I trying to give right now? And I think that's what I've learned a lot about myself in the last like few months, kind of stepping away from the corporate space and having this time to kind of learn myself more and understand like my rhythms, my cycles, what I need for myself to be energized and, you know, be able to focus on a daily basis. And when all of those are in place, then I find like I have enough to then give to Peyton, give to my friends, give to everybody around me.
Right.
And in moderation, because I think I'm a very social person, just like you ladies are, but I feel like people like us have to be careful because you can find the need to be in 101 places in 5 days in the week. And it's not possible. So it's like prioritizing and saying, what do I need and what do I have to give?
Literally, in the last years when I learned to start saying no, I don't have to go to this.
But
and not feeling guilty. I used to be like,
you are everywhere.
Girl, and I used to retract like, wait a minute, I really don't have to go and like have to talk to myself because I'm over here figuring out how I'm gonna make it everywhere. And I was like, but I don't have to go.
Dude, remember when we used to be in Van Horse?
Girl.
We've fallen off drastically.
Yeah.
Like by 75%.
Yes, because life has
been life
on my shoulder. Like, hey, you need to chill out. Like,
yeah.
And I'm fine. I'm okay.
And it's also being intentional, right? Like we've all talked about this.
Yeah.
Being intentional on who gets our time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really.
Being a little choosy. It's okay.
It is definitely okay.
That's something that comes with age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like now you notice who you don't really need to be giving your time to, or like what you'd rather be doing. I'm not here for like waste my time.
Mm-hmm. Time is too precious and few.
Exactly.
And I'm
not promised to be doing things I don't want to do.
Right.
Why am I doing that?
To make other people happy was my
initiative.
Yeah.
Do I want to be here right now? Yeah. Do I need to do that? No.
That'd be fine.
So, you are currently a consultant. How do you keep up with like the trends in your industry and just like knowing, because I'm sure you're doing a lot of like pitching probably or like how do you keep up with the trends? Music, culture, food.
Especially because being out of the office, you're not like in those conversations. Yeah. That's how I feel about when even being in school.
Yeah.
Remember college, you was always part of that.
So like, I'm going to have, I have one answer for this question.
Okay.
And it's my group chat. Shout out to the girls. My group chat kind of keeps me
abreast.
Abreast of everything going on.
Shout out to group chat.
Group chat. You know, my ladies be like keeping me informed. And, you know, some things you want to know, some things it's like, okay, I really didn't need to know that. But, you know, you kind of jump in when you want to. Mm-hmm. And it creates this like dialogue and banter that kind of happens throughout the day. I've also found myself really kind of diving into a lot of podcasts too as well, just kind of like listening to other people throughout the day, because as you said, sometimes you do miss, you know, the conversations in the office, you know, that back and forth, just kind of like shooting the shit, so you know, kind of just finding some of those people who you can connect with throughout the day.
Absolutely.
Just so you don't feel like you're on an island by yourself, you know.
Because it could feel that way.
Because it can feel that way.
A lot.
What are some podcasts are you listening to?
So I mean, Super Soul Sunday.
Oh my God! I just found out that there was a podcast for that. I didn't even know.
So good. I think it would be life when I be working the High Line.
Really? Yeah. I need to get put on. I haven't listened to that one.
NPR has some pretty good podcasts. I love like my TED Talk podcast too. And just kind of like, as I said, kind of just finding some people who, there are some people who are kind of on the same kind of schedule as me.
Yeah.
So like kind of checking in with those people, seeing what they have going on and just like staying connected. Yeah.
Dope.
So, speaking of that, takes us into social media. Do you use social media to like help your brand?
So currently I would say I'm not using social media to help my brand. And I think that's because I still am trying to figure out what my brand is.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You know, I think the last like year has been this like renewal in which I'm kind of relearning myself and figuring things out. So like, you know, I kept saying to myself, you know, I worked with a coach the first half of this year, and she was really awesome, and she really wanted me to get out there and create a page and start like pumping myself. But I'm like, what am I pumping though? Like, before I just get out there and start throwing Jamila in everybody's face, like, what is it about Jamila that you want to be throwing into everybody's face? And I'm not there yet.
I'm not going to just do fluff, just for fluff.
But yeah, you know, so right now for me, social media is really just a way of kind of sharing things that are going on in my life. You know, I do wish I was a little bit more active. I'm working on that.
Active in what regard?
Just like posting. And just kind of letting people know where I'm at, because whenever I share with some people what I'm doing, they're like, oh my God, like I wish I knew more about this. Why aren't you posting or telling more of your story? So I think something you ladies have even, you know,
suggested
me on and suggested is just sharing more and being comfortable.
Even this process, like behind the scenes, because there's a lot of people that are probably thinking about making that transition. So I just met a young lady yesterday. She goes to NYU. She's studying a leg of anthropology. I forgot what the actual subject is. And she was saying that she shares on social media about like beauty and makeup. And she's like, I do enjoy those things, but it's not everything I'm about. And what I was telling her was that another friend of ours spoke of a story, and the person was in the process of going to med school, and she spoke about her journey of like how it was to test, how it was like the process of study, and that's a very niche thing. And there are people that are going through it. So my point to say all of that was like, there's people on the very same journey as you that they also think they're alone and they think nobody's gonna listen, but you have something very unique, and social media, there's a space for you to, you know, to grow that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you're
going to
help me
with. I think, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I felt like over the past, I guess, a year maybe, because what a difference a year makes. I feel like I've kind of, like, for my personal brand, just kind of thought about social media in a different way, where, like, it is about being a little bit more transparent. It is about being honest and curating your page the way you want it to look. You know, I mean, it's hard, but you know, I think I've been trying. I personally have been trying. And I'm just trying to be out there.
Yes, even the post that she had today, like this week, have been cannot.
It's hard.
I'm still in a space of like, I don't want to be judged. And it's not that I don't care what people say, but like, I don't.
It's personal.
Questions.
It's personal. It's personal. So personal
is my thing, and it's just like, there's certain questions that are going to be asked, and if you're putting out there, people
are going to ask. I think we just all have to realize, like, this is what, like, everyone is moving towards.
Yeah.
This level,
this level of openness,
transparency, like, into everybody, each other's lives. And, like, as private people, sometimes it's hard to, like, let your guard down. Mm-hmm. But I think if we take it back to what you said earlier, mm-hmm. you never know who could be hearing or watching or seeing and become inspired, or you're helping, or you know, so you never know who,
you
like
really know
by sharing
never,
how you could be.
Everyone has a story, and one person, you touch one person,
and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
True.
It really is.
No, it's really true.
That's so true.
True.
I've had so many. My post today was like random as fuck. And I thought about it for a second, and then I posted it, and I've had mad people reach out to me, like, randomly.
Okay.
People, like, I don't even really know too much, like, right. Some people I know. And they're just, like, reaching out to me, like, you got this, blah, 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 whatever. And it's just, like, been cool, because it's, like, all right, like, I'm not alone. One, everybody, we all life in, we
right,
get it.
Right, right.
Shit is hard. Some days are better than most. Some days are not. Like, everyone's not going to be happy every day. And sometimes you just got to fucking be in your feelings about it
and
be okay.
Be in your feelings. Because I think if we don't allow ourselves to feel the emotion,
sure.
then we try to suppress it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still with us. So
and then we're putting on these facades.
Yeah,
or you
not.
Become, like, erratic in other ways. And,
yeah.
Like, be angry at people for no damn reason.
Right.
They're looking at you like, what is wrong? Not because
bitch,
Tim will be here,
crazy.
I'm fine, I'm holding that deep down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it
bitch,
be like that. It be looking like I'm crazy, but actually, it's just that I haven't said out loud how I feel.
That was me yesterday. But anyway, so, Jamila, is there anything currently that you've done that you've never done before, not including leaving your full-time job? Something new that you've never done before that you've done in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I would say I've done a lot of new things. but I would say something that stands out the most was the workshop I did for WeWork.
That was so amazing.
That was through an amazing friend that I have, Tiffany Harden. Shout out to Tiffany at WeWork. So Tiffany was part of spearheading a group of people who put together a resource group at WeWork called We of Color. So it's an employee resource group for everybody who is of color to kind of come together, feel supported, and feel like they have the programming they need to be successful at WeWork. So she had approached me just like a few months after I'd left work, and we were talking actually about what she should do to prepare for her negotiations and get an understanding of like her value and what to like bring to the table. And after we talked, she was like, would you mind talking to like 100 people about this? And I was just like, sure, like, you know, let me know when, blah blah blah, you know. And didn't think much of it, and like the next day she sent me an email like, so in 48 hours I'm gonna need you to do like, you know, an international like webcast and you know just present to people on this topic. And the first thing I say to myself is, of course, like, I go back to, like, the corporate Jamila, like, oh my God, you only have 48 hours, you don't have enough time to do this, girl, like, how are you going to pull this together? And just, and then finally, I just said, you know what, she wouldn't have asked me to do this if she didn't think I could do it.
Yeah,
right.
And I just let her belief in me kind of motivate me to just do it, and it was amazing to realize that as much as I was in a space that I didn't feel like I loved, there was so much I learned that I was able to share with other people to help them in a completely different space. And
because you're the experts. They don't know what they don't
know.
Like, you know.
Exactly. And being able to share out, and despite the fact that the industry is a little bit different, like, those anecdotal stories are the same when you have a boss that's difficult to work with,
yeah.
or you have someone who you know
some
is a little bit
cutthroat
and is trying to kind of step all
yeah.
over you. Like, it's the same stories, it's
right.
just a different space.
Right,
so
yeah.
it was just nice to be able to take what I experienced and use that to help people. And it was something that I never envisioned myself ever doing.
So amazing.
And it was definitely one of those confidence boosters where it was like, okay.
I'm the shit.
Look at you.
And I know
my
shit.
That's
for like,
yeah, it was great.
So now we're in our segment where we want to know who your hashtag obsessed with is. Okay. It could be a person, male, female, or platform, just someone living, dead, alive, celebrity that you just resonate with.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this because I'm like, who's
going to
be this person?
Right.
I just have to go back to like thinking about the last like year and everything I've been doing, and something that has been very grounding for me has been my meditation practice. And one of the teachers I found through an app that I use called Insight Timer, her name is Sarah Blondin, and she has a podcast called Living Awake. And she, I mean, her words and the way she talks about our life experiences.
I need to check her out. I'm like, well, I listen, I like an insight.
It has brought me to tears. Really? There has been some of her podcasts that I've listened to, and I don't know what it is about her view on the world and life and how she sees things, but it almost feels like she's speaking directly to me.
Right.
And she touches on so many of the things we struggle with, like whether it's change or fear or, you know, loving yourself or trusting yourself, like honoring your rhythms and cycles. Like, she just speaks to me in so many ways, to the point that, like, I hosted a book club, and before we started the book club, we did a group meditation.
I'm like, you hosted a book club?
Yes,
what book were you reading?
Yeah. So we read The Untethered Soul. One of my favorite books, another Michael Singer, I love him too, he would be my second runner-up. But I played Sarah Blondin's meditation called Let Go, because the whole book about the untethered soul was like letting go of attachments. And like by the end, everybody was like, we were all laying on the ground because we did it in a yoga studio, and people were just like stunned by her. And she just has such an amazing gift. So
Jamila's out here living like the Real Housewives of Harlem. Like, yes, gather.
I'm so done. That was hilarious. You the Real Housewife of Harlem?
Yeah, she's out here doing book clubs.
Didn't even and know. Yoga.
I love it. I'm bringing us on to Sarah.
Sarah Blondin, Living Awake. If you are looking for someone who can really kind of help you tap into some deeper parts of yourself, like, just listen to one or two of her podcasts.
Tomorrow. Mommy.
You will not be disappointed.
Let me do this.
I'm about to go to Canada and try to find her.
And she's Canadian? Yes, Sarah. Sarah, we gotta have you as a guest on the show.
Please,
we all need some meditating on our lives.
Ooh, don't we?
All
right, so now we get into a fun part. We want to do a little game with you called Truth or Truth, and we're gonna kick it off. So, what is your biggest fear in a relationship?
Like a romantic relationship, or
I think it could be any relationship.
Any relationship.
I guess betrayal. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
I don't like to be betrayed, and I feel like I'm a giver, and I give unconditionally. So when someone betrays me, it hurts.
What's your sign again?
Level Aries.
You're both Aries, right?
Didn't we tell you?
I know, but I forgot. Like.
We're such givers.
I'm way too much Aries around me.
To the point of no return, and so we internalize.
So when you get betrayed, it's like, it's so deep for you because you gave so much. Where some other sex friends who like someone betrays them, they're like, oh, fuck it, I don't need you.
Right,
you're taking nothing from me. Meanwhile, I'm like, I gave you so much. You know,
We are dramatic in that way.
I'm with Aries, y'all. I don't even understand that.
She stays surrounded by Aries.
Surrounded by Aries.
She loves it. She's saying it like she does it. Okay.
All right. So, what was your funniest first date ever?
Funniest first date ever.
That's funny.
Something that happened, like, that was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, any date that made you like question.
I had like a blind date that one of my very close friends had set me up for, and we exchanged pictures, like, he was really cute. We were kind of like, this was back in the day, so we still, you know, text, email, right. Like real social media stuff going on. So I remember we met up and I had no idea he was like shorter than 5 feet. And like I had heels on.
She dated a midget.
And I just came in, cause like in all his pictures, he was like a pretty big guy, but I just didn't realize his height. And I was towering over him all night long, and I'm 5'3", so for me to be towering
on this. That is
a huge problem.
And I fell back, I wouldn't have wore those heels if I knew.
But the beauty of being 5'3 is that you can wear anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
What kills me more than that? The angles of his fingers.
He was trying to look tall. Like, I was like, if you would have just told me, homie, I would have wore sandals.
Oh, like, and like, that's not something that, like, you thought he was tall, so that's gonna be like, how tall are you?
So,
was
he shorter than 5'2"?
Yeah, I think he probably was like, he was just at 5. He was lucky.
I'm done. I'm so done.
There's lucky people out here, just not from us.
Sorry.
Which is fucked up because we're all
short. But that's why I can't be on the short side. That's just a breakfast thing. Y'all are good people. I'm very short.
Right. And short girls don't like short guys.
I don't like short guys.
Okay, what is your weirdest habit?
Oh, okay.
My cheeks hurt.
I love it.
My weirdest habit right now, my weirdest habit is that I've been obsessed with like calendaring and tracking my productivity because now that I am home and not in like a workspace, like I want to know how I'm spending my time.
I mean, that's smart.
So like I literally put on my calendar when I meditate, like when I walk the dog, when I work out, like
you schedule your day.
Like, and it's just like, even if it's like not planned, it's just like throughout the day it was like, oh, you just spent 2 hours watching SVU.
Why did you do that?
But this fine. Just put it in the calendar. We can go back and look at it, but you did it and you know you did it.
And
you
it's like, what has to be moved around the chain? Because exactly. You just spent this time
watching this TV.
This can become a trend.
And you saw both of those episodes already. So it's not like it was new. Like, why are you doing this?
You know what's so funny? Because I'm a consultant as well. So like, whenever people hit me up, like my one friend, he's always like, I spent 6 hours today and I didn't want to do any work. So I watched it. I was like, that's okay. Yeah. What are you going to do tomorrow to make up for the time that you spent doing the 6 hours? Watching Netflix.
Exactly.
Figure it out.
Exactly. And at least you know, like, okay.
Yeah, I know for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think that's weird. I'm that girl too. Okay, I mean, or maybe that is weird and I'm
y'all weird too.
That's why we love each other.
Okay. Okay, so what are two things you should know how to do but don't?
And if you can't think of two,
one. Yeah. What one you got?
Well, I was gonna give her one, but
what's
her?
Think
of her one. Let her think of her one.
I should know how to do, but I don't.
I wanna hear this.
No, I just want her to think of her one. Like, I want you to give us two.
But why does she?
Why does she knows that she knows how to do?
But you know what you know how to do more. Yeah, you know better.
Goodness.
Come on.
Okay, so I've been practicing yoga for about a year and a half now. And like, I should really know all, like when I'm in class and they say the poses, like in the Sanskrit word, I'd be like.
Still not like.
You still lost.
Say what we need to do, like is that down dog? Like what do you want me to do right now? I feel like for as long as I've been practicing yoga, which is something that has been a part of, you know, my whole transition, like. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I wish I knew, like, when they said, like, certain words, what that means, so I think that's the same thing, you know.
But, you know, yoga is very, like, they're cool on you not knowing, like, embrace the moment.
Yeah, so it's nice to, like, no you pressure. Know, usually I feel like I have to know everything, and that's one space I can go into and just be like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing, but, you
and
know.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm enjoying myself, so.
As you should.
What do you know that she
that's
doesn't
all
know?
I was waiting for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. How useful would you be in a zombie apocalypse? What skills do you have that would work?
I think this is an awesome question.
I do too, because I already know one of the skills, but.
Look at us just reading you. We just are reading.
I would say, I think I could be pretty useful. I'm very resourceful.
Super fucking resourceful.
Very resourceful. Like, I can find ways for us to, you know, like, get food.
Like, you're someone I want on my team.
Yeah, like, I'm going to that person in the Hunger Games.
Whatever money we have left, just let pool it together. I will make sure it can last as long as possible.
I'm a hug.
You know, I'm pretty nimble, too. So if you need me to, like, you know, take the gun and shoot the zombies, like, I'll do what I got to do to stay alive.
Don't come on me. I will be like...
You're like my sister. I'm like you. We would die. We would die. I think I'm pretty resourceful.
Don't come.
But I'm on your team. Okay. What? I mean, who is the most impressive famous person alive today, and why?
Gosh, that is such a hard.
It is a hard one.
It is.
I have so many people.
I mean, mention a couple of them. Whatever.
I mean, I will always be impressed, wowed, and enamored by Obama. And Michelle,
yeah.
Like those two are just like
power to the people.
Calling her out again, Oprah, because I don't think a lot of people know what her beginnings looked like and some of the trauma she experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And as a black woman in a space where there were not a lot of people like her doing what she was doing.
She was treated really poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy. I feel like all people probably should just know Oprah's story.
Like, people don't know.
I know that, but it's just crazy to me because it's like, why y'all don't know?
And it's exactly why I empathize with where people like criticize her at in like being, for lack of better words, uppity or like standoffish. But
they
like,
don't know.
No, she's come from like
humble.
Yeah,
humble.
Super humble.
You know who I really love, and this is gonna be random, but
unpopular.
I really love LeBron James. Like,
oh, you know what? I've become a recent fan.
I
as
love
a person.
That this man played basketball as a star since high school. He's now 34 years old. He's still
so
doing the goddamn thing.
Long in basketball.
Still doing the goddamn thing. We don't hear about his personal life in the news. If he's cheating,
he's
I don't know. And I don't care. I don't have to know. Because LeBron's not making me be a part of that part of his life.
Right.
Like, I just respect the way
matter.
He moves.
Yeah.
You know?
I
just admire so many
he's a stand-up
about him.
Man.
He's a stand-up guy.
By the way, have you seen his new show?
On HBO?
Yes!
I saw
so good.
You have
to watch it.
I can't wait.
You have to watch it.
And it looks
amazing.
Like he's schooling some of these young athletes.
Yes.
That need some guidance. Like,
it's so good.
It's a gift back moment.
Yes. Yes.
And he's just doing mad things for the community.
I love
and
it.
Yeah. I've become a fan of his.
Yes.
Yeah. I could see it. It's kind of how I felt about Nick Cannon, which is weird. But
yeah, he does a lot.
I really.
He's done a lot too.
Nick Cannon, people sleep on Nick Cannon.
And
but
he's made so many people
but
pop.
Look at the other people he puts on.
Gone.
You just see the format of the show he has.
So
now.
Many people.
All he's doing is putting people
that's
on.
That's 12 seasons.
That's what that show is
this
doing.
This is 12 seasons. This is a wild amount.
When things on MTV have been canceled, like Charlamagne's show was canceled.
He's the youngest Nick Jr. executive. I mean, whatever, but I just became a fan of Nick Cannon, but whatever.
I totally agree with that.
They stay trying to punk him, and just because he's very eclectic, and like, he
I just, I love it, though,
and
like,
he's comfortable with who
he's
is
so comfortable.
So he's
it's people
skin.
That are not comfortable
yeah,
with his level of comfortability.
Comfortable.
Get comfortable.
Yeah with
he,
yourself.
He ain't going nowhere.
He really
he
is
absolutely not going anywhere.
He got that long way.
Okay, and our last question is, what is the cause that you would dedicate your life to? That's a
you're
good question.
You're trumping people.
Yeah,
you
really.
I think through these questions.
Listen,
right now.
Girl. Delilah.
Because if you haven't thought about it yet, you're thinking about it now.
Delilah.
A cause I would dedicate to myself to would be, well, my life for my life would be, I guess, giving everyone the opportunity to be them their best selves and just kind of see the beauty within themselves and kind of know, you know, this is my gift to the world and I can offer it. Whatever that gift is, whether it's in the professional space, the personal space, like just having everyone know what their gifts are and being able to share them.
It's true, because not a lot of people know. And that's
like
kind of
people, I feel like, some people die never knowing what their gifts are, you know, because you
or living their lives.
Yeah, you know?
Because they're living for others.
Worker bees.
Yeah. And not even worker bees. It just be like people like, it could be that parent who had a missed experience and their child is trying to live through the parents' dreams and like they don't want to fault their parents, so they're feeling guilty, and that's just like one example. But then it's the person who did everything, this was their passion, and then they get it and they feel guilty for like not really wanting it as much as they thought they so yeah, just like understanding that it's okay to change your mind.
Yeah, and I think I truly do believe, like, especially now being where I am, that we all have something that we're meant to like offer and give to the world. And, you know, I feel like so many of us now get caught up in this idea of like, what's my purpose? What's my passion? Like, everybody keeps asking me like 8 months later, Janelle, do you know what you want to do? Like professionally for the rest of your life? No, but I do know the way in which I want to live my life. And I do know what's important to me. And like, even if your gift is to just love other people and give of yourself, you know, in the most simplest way, if it makes you feel good, that's what you're meant to be doing, and that's fine.
Yeah,
it might not be creating the next fucking Facebook, and that's okay. Like, we're not all on this planet to do that.
Because everybody's unique and everyone has their own purpose.
Absolutely. Exactly. And I just also think it doesn't matter if like you're not doing something grand, because along the way you might find something that you like that you didn't know, but through experiences then you started liking new things. So it's just like, embrace those experiences.
I think, I mean, for a long time I personally didn't know my purpose until recently. Like, and we're in our 30s. You know what I mean? Right, like, it's like one of those things that it's like, you think you're supposed to be, you're on one track, especially when you go to college, you think one thing, and then life takes you in a whole different direction. Exactly. And then you gotta figure that shit out. There's no rule book. We still out here trying.
Exactly.
It's just like, you
and
know.
And it's like, a lot of times you say, oh, if I have all the money, whatever, I'll do whatever I want. And then I can have that time. Like, yeah, I'll say I'll sleep. But then when you really have it in front of you, you really don't know, like, what do I do now?
Right.
Like, you know?
Well, on that note, we are wrapping up. We've come to an end of this episode. But before we go, Delilah beautifully introduced you at the beginning of this episode. And we would like you to introduce yourself to the world and what you want them to know about Jamila.
Okay. Well, I would say what I want people to know about me is that, you know, I think the last year has made a complete difference in my life, and no matter what you're doing or where you are, as long as you allow yourself to see past your current circumstances and believe in yourself, we can do anything that we want to do. And I felt like when I was working in the hedge fund industry for so long, you know, people would say to me, oh my gosh, you're a controller, you're a senior vice president, like, there's not that many black women in this space doing what you're doing, you're an astronaut, you have to be here, you have to stay here because you're representing for us. And okay, I put my time in, I did that here, but now it's time to represent for me and what I'm about.
Right.
And that's where I am now. So it's all about, you know, creating connections and meeting people who are on the same frequency as me, so I can collaborate and do things with people that I believe in, I care about. Like, I've realized when I give myself to people that I have a connection to, it fulfills me more than any amount of dollars that could be put in my hand. So, you know, I guess that's how I would introduce myself.
Preach, Jamila! Preach! Well, on that note, we are so out.
Yeah, stay tuned for our next episode and make sure to follow us at Non Corporate Girls on all platforms.
Bye. Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to episode 54 of Non-Corporate Girls, What a Difference a Year Makes with Jamila Ogilvie. Catch us on noncorporategirls.com, at noncorporategirls on Instagram. Follow myself, Ayana, at @the_aya_brand, Delilah at @MissDelilahC on Instagram, and stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks.